So we'll chant again budget number
4.
Krishna ya visujamati sarvasvahirani katha mukti vyagra na shunukila sarvatma gilani api chaktva lakshmi patiratimito bhyo manyayanam raje radha krishna svarati manido tvam bhajamana. My dear mind, you must categorically relinquish all frivolous and mundane talk, which is like a prostitute which steals all your intelligence from resolve. The desire for liberation is equally evil, for it's like a terrifying tiger devouring your very being. I further request you even abandon your attachment to Lord Narayan, the husband of Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune who offers the grand benediction of residence in Vaikuntha. I simply and humbly request that you live in Braja and worship Sri Radha and Sri Krishna, for they bless their devotees with engagement in their devotional service. Vrindavani Vamanariti Prasiddhabhumo Tatrapi Krishna Balarama Supadamule Gyanam Param Paramai Krishna Sudharma Chuktam Dandastu Deva Prabhupada Namo Namaste. Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sacheda Ananda Namini Gaura Shakti Sorupaya Rupanu Govaraya Te Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripasindubhya Vichapatitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Nama. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So as we were referring to yesterday, the necessity, Raghunath Das is advising us all, the necessity to give up all types of nonsense talk. And we mentioned that generally nonsense talk, when you see it in other people or if you observe it in yourself, it means it's a state of disease that the mind is on. When the mind is not focused on Krishna, then naturally it'll be absorbed in nonsense conversation. So it's like a symptom of the diseased state of consciousness of a devotee. If he's attached to hearing worldly topics or talking about worldly topics, it means he has no rati for Krishna katha. Prabhupada mentions it also in a tape. That why people are not coming to this lecture, he said in one tape, because they have no attraction for Krishna Gita. They have attraction for Maya, therefore they want to listen to that. So, as devotees, we must be very careful, Prabhupada was also encouraging us, to limit our dealings with the external world. Because otherwise we may fall into our old conditioning habits, reading mundane novels, mundane literatures, etc. We should keep that to a minimum. We should not be naive. If we're engaged in preaching, we should know what's going on in the world. Otherwise, we look too crazy. If we have to deal with the public on behalf of a temple or on behalf of some preaching establishment, then we should know what, at least a little bit of what world events are going on. But we should not absorb our mind in these things. Our mind should be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And to that extent, one can easily see if somebody's absorbed in Krishna consciousness by their blissfulness, by their happiness, by their absorption, and etc. One who engages in hearing the nectar of Krishna Katha, these topics are, he will find the topics ever fresh. As it mentions in glorifying the Bhagavatam at the end of the Bhagavatam, 12th canto, 12th chapter, verse 50. Tadevya ramyam ruchiram navam navam. The topics of Krishna are very sweet, palatable, relishable, palatable, ruchiram, navam navam, and ever fresh. And tadeva shashvana manasa mahotsavam. They're a continual festival for the mind of the devotees. And tadeva shokarnava shoshanam runam. It dries up the ocean of lamentation. These topics of Krishna, who was known as Uttama Shloka, glorified in the most selected poetry. Topics which are heard and repeated. Anugiyate is significant. It means Giyate is it's already sung by great liberated sages. Sukadeva Goswami, Sutta Goswami. Now you sing it. Listen to their tune. Listen to what they have sung. Digest it. Understand it. And sing it. And if you do so sincerely, that's what preaching is all about. And certainly some sincere souls, if you do so humbly on behalf of the previous acharyas, desiring Krishna to utilize you as an instrument, some souls will hear it and become benefited. That's the idea. By hearing it, they'll become benefited. Anugiyate. So therefore, speak it. If we have no attraction to speak Krishna Katha, instead we're talking nonsense Katha, it's a state of our diseased mentality. We've not given up our bodily conception of life or conditioning. So, therefore, part of being a devotee is this type of business. It doesn't matter whether one is in any ashram. Generally, the position of a steady devotee is they try to minimize their contacts with the external world only as far as necessary. Now, that's for in grihastha ashram, that may be more difficult because you have to have more attachments and engagements with the outside world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur set an example. He was very active in his job, but he utilized his position and his prestige from his job to attract people to Krishna. And after hours, he completely threw it away. Anything that he had to do about his job, he threw it away and was absorbed in his shastra, in his internal work. Otherwise, how could he write for 8 hours a day, eight and a half hours a day, if he was not intensely absorbed in it? So one has to, if one has to work in contact with the outside world, as grihasthas have to do, one should minimize that, limit it, or be prepared to not contemplate it when one has spare time. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a habit of not, when he was in college, I'm not becoming too attached to reading external textbooks. Although, just by hearing it once, he more or less grasped the import of whatever subjects were being taught. But he did not study the book so much, study homework and something like this, even though he did very good in his grades, in his class. He would prefer to read the books written by his father. And later on, he assisted his father in editing and publishing those same books, like that. Which means, even as a student, as a young student, the discrimination not to get involved in nonsense talk was strong. This is the makings of a real devotee. So, Jagannanda, we mentioned Jagannanda Pandit in Prema Vivarta quotes that, oh, renunciate brother, don't talk nonsense talk and don't hear nonsense talk when you meet others. Don't talk nonsense talk with them when you meet them. It's in the purport of the Upadeshamrita first shloka. It's a very powerful statement. Naturally, when you're eating, listening to garbage talk, then garbage comes in your brains. Thought of the opposite sex or so many things happen at night. And therefore, the next statement of Jagannanda Pandit holds true for that. Which is going to, this is going to come in the next verse. In that next verse. That, don't think of women, even in dreams. He said, Swapni onakari by stri sambhasane. Don't sleep, don't think in dreams even of women, association of women. And grihe stri charya by asya chavana. Don't associate extensively with household or ladies. Rather, you should prefer to stay in the forest. That was the mood for, in those days, 400 or 500 years ago. Renunciates could stay aloof in society. And society was maintaining them. And that was Indian society. That's how it was in Indian society. But although the modern day life makes things difficult in terms of association, mixing, thus there are far fewer brahmacharis, renunciates, in this world, and the increase of householder life is the general and common tendency. Still, we should control ourselves. So, no nonsense talk and focus on Krishna consciousness, and even the attraction of Vaikuntha we should keep afar. Because if we associate with that, maryada, the path of Vaidhi Bhakti to the extent of becoming attracted to the Gaurava Dasya, the reverential worship of Vaikuntha, then that's the kind of a body we'll get. Sometimes you notice that if you go to South India, and South India, they have intense Vaikuntha Bhav. That is everywhere. So it's hard not to get attracted to it when you associate with that atmosphere for a long degree of time. If you go to visit South and you stay with people that are absorbed in that, it's hard not to become attracted to Ranganath and the other forms of the Lord in this in different places where the Lord is. One has a tendency to appreciate the Lord wherever He is. And when you hear, actually converse with scholars and different devotees absorbed in these type of things, it's difficult not to get attracted. If you like Sanskrit katha, Krishna katha, and various Vedic, you like Vedic katha from the Vedas, etc. Specifically, if somebody is scholarly, specifically if somebody is well-versed, it becomes a very attractive thing to talk with them and converse with them and be with them and appreciate their mood of worship. However, Gauranga Mahaprabhu was very diligent. Even though he stayed in Venkatabhatta's house for 4 months, he was very determined to present the highest truth. Therefore, in light moments and joking, he was joking about the distinction between Lakshmi Narayan worship and Radha Krishna worship in Vrindavan. And by his association, he charmed and captivated the hearts of the entire family. So much so that Gopal Guru, who became Prabodhananda Saraswati Pad after his sannyas, came to Vrindavan, as well as the son of Venkata Bhatta, Gopal Bhatta, who was his nephew and was under his tutelage when both of them were here in Vrindavan. Naturally, both of them gave up South India and came here. Both of them gave up the roots of their Sri Vaishnav training and culture and came to Vrindavan to associate with Rupa and Sanatan. They utilized their learning of all the Shastras that they knew from South Indian education. Like the other Goswamis, they knew, whatever they knew about the Vedas, they used it to synthesize the glory of Radha Krishna worship. Like that. They used it. So one should see that superiority in that case. This is all recorded wonderfully in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's an aspect of that superiority. So now, we were discussing yesterday about liberation and why devotees consider it to be so small. Because liberation gives fruits of a lower quality than pure devotional service. The devotee is only happy to accept these four goals, four of the five liberations, if it is favorable for Krishna's service, if Krishna desires it. Otherwise, we do not demand it. It is not a mercantile bargaining type of thing. Now, it mentions here also that they are not attracted by the divine opulence of Lord Narayan or even by the grandeur of Sri Krishna, the husband of Queen Rukmini and Dwarka. This is interesting. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when it's discussing about Krishna's age, Rupa Goswami describes Krishna's age in Komara Lila when he is when he appears to the age of 5. Then Poganda Lila from Krishna's age when he becomes 6, just after the killing of Agasura. Until he reaches 10 years old. Then, when he reaches 10 years old, then that's called Kaishor. There is Adya, Madhya, and Shesh, the beginning, middle, and end of his Kaishor youth. When he turns 14, 15 years old, almost 16, then he goes to Mathura. At that time, when he goes to Mathura, that is called Yovan, youthfulness. So, Rupa Goswami refers there in Fraternal Loving Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.3.80, that Krishna's age, eternal age, is Kaishor Krishna, as an eternal 15-year-old youth. Therefore, because of that, his youthfulness as a youth, when he goes to Mathura and Dwarka, will not be discussed here. He slams the door on that particular topic. It just goes to show you that when devotees are focused on Krishna and Vrindavan, they're very exclusive. Although Rupa Goswami did deal with writing about the Lord's Dwarka Lila, in terms, and specifically about the sections in Dwarka, there's one forest, there's one particular park that Krishna has made, a Nava Vrindavan within Dwarka, where sometimes Krishna goes and plays on his flute and becomes absorbed in remembrance and separation from Vrindavan. That other than that, it mentions there that the forest of Vrindavan is so transcendentally situated in Vrajavilasa Stava, it mentions that it completely eclipses even the places of Dwarka, where Krishna performed his pastimes of enjoying with so many beautiful queens, each so beautiful, rebuking the beauty of Cupid. More beautiful than many, any other queens in the world were Krishna's queens of Dwarka. And yet, the happiness that Krishna had is more sweeter in Vrindavan, more stronger, more powerful than even the happiness the Lord had enjoying in the company of so many wonderful queens in Dwarka. That's the special sweetness of Vrindavan. The happiness of Krishna's reciprocation with his devotees, by which he forgets himself. It's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishna's eternal form is as a coward boy in Vrindavan, Gopal. That's his swarup, his eternal form. Eternal form, Kaishwara Krishna. Now, when he goes to Mathura, it's called a Vaibhava Prakash in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Vaibhav means different mood. The manifestation of a different mood. That's exactly what it means in Sanskrit. He completely identifies himself in Mathura as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, who are Kshatriyas. So he takes on the mood, characteristics, dress, mentality of a Kshatriya boy. That's all. It's another mood. Whereas in Vrindavan, he completely identifies himself as Gopal. I'm a coward boy, and I have my family in Vrindavan, and we're all equal in this village, and I have to take care of the cows, buffaloes, goats, etc. He completely absorbs himself. Interesting, in case you don't know, Krishna also had some buffaloes and had some goats also. Rajavilasa Stava mentioned Krishna also herded goats to some degree. So, that's Krishna. He identifies himself as a gopa. I'm a coward boy, and I don't know anything else. This is described in the Brahma Vimohan Leela, which we'll come to in our classes here soon. That after Krishna heard the prayers of Brahmaji, after Brahma apologized and etc., etc., Krishna was very silent. One commentator said Krishna is silent because he's gravely accepting with care all that Brahmaji is speaking. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says Krishna's gravity is noteworthy because when Krishna was silent, he was pondering, what does this four-headed fellow want? What is he talking about? What does it all mean? Where are my cows? I'm a coward boy and I know nothing else. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's paraphrasing what's on Krishna's mind, describing Krishna's silence when after Brahmaji spoke. Brahmaji spoke and saw Krishna as Gambhir, very sober, grave, as if, and therefore it causes wonder, bewilderment in Brahma's mind whether Krishna was happy, whether he was accepting the prayers or not. Acknowledge it. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Krishna is saying, where's my cows? What's this golden man with four faces and four helmets? What's he saying? You know, what's it all mean? Where are my cows? He's completely absorbed as a gopal, as a boy who protects the cows. He's absorbed in it, and he loves it. And his devotees attract him so much that their unmotivated love in Vrindavan, that he completely forgets himself and absorbs himself in that rasa. When the boys chastise him, all the rasas and all the relationship overlapped. Mother Rohini comes out at noon to call Krishna to come and take his lunch. Nanda Baba's waiting. Rohini couldn't budge them. She went back in frustration. So Mother Jasoda came out. Oh, my dear, the glory of your dynasty, please come back, oh Balaram. Please come back. Nanda Baba's waiting. And despite saying all these things with great affection, milk is dripping from her breast and affection for her children. And Balaram is ready to come. But then Krishna's friends say, oh, if Krishna wants to leave now and our playing has not even reached its zenith, so we will not play with him in the morning if he wants to go so quickly. So out of fear for his friends, he'll stay and play for a little while longer, pretending as if Mother Jasoda was not speaking. Then she has to speak again. And forcefully she comes there and she grabs Balaram by the hand. Balaram and Krishna by the hand. Says, come on, come on. Can't you see all your friends are bathed and dressed very nicely by their mothers? Come on home. We will also bathe you and dress you very nicely. And come and eat something with your father. Nanda Baba is waiting for you. Then again you can play. So hearing all this, then Krishna and Balaram agree, all right. And they take Mother Jasoda's hand and they go. And sometimes the boys also come. They'll also come, and they'll also come to Mother Jasoda's house, and they'll all eat. And after they've been eating, then they'll go and they'll say, well, you guys can go and play, but don't do this tomorrow. Tomorrow, don't make Kanu become late for his lunch, you know, and it caused so much anxiety to his father, Nanda Baba. You should not do this. Mother Jasoda chastises all the boys directly about this issue. Okay? So, it means that Krishna is attached to his friends, therefore he ignores Mother Jasoda at play. Or if they say, you can't change the rules, we will complain to Mother Jasoda. There's nothing Krishna fears more than Mother Jasoda. So therefore he surrenders in order to avoid Mother Jasoda hearing a complaint. The fear personified is afraid of God, but God is afraid of Mother Jasoda. He completely forgets himself and his almighty potencies. Occasionally, even Balaram forgets himself. When Pralambasura was being killed, he forgot himself. Seeing the giant carrier, Krishna had to remind him of his own divine nature, just so Balaram could kill the demon. Krishna had to remind him. This means the happiness that they taste in Vrindavan is so high that they forget themselves. It causes the Yogamaya potency, causes the Vrajavasis to forget that he's God. They have absolutely no knowledge or not the slightest care to know whether he's God or not. It's so potent, Yogamaya is so potent, that even Krishna forgets himself due to the unbounded love of the Vrajavasis and the sweetness of Vrindavan. Even Krishna forgets himself. What to speak of others? So that's the special sweetness of Vrindavan that is not there in Vaikuntha. But as we mentioned before, some acharyas opine that the happiness there in Vaikuntha, basically hovering around 2.5 rasas, Shantam, then Gauravadasya, Gauravadasya. Service with a very awe and reverential. So 2.5. That cannot hold up to Vrindavan. As we mentioned before in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, to the story of Gopal Kumar going back to Godhead. So as he's going, then he stops in Vaikuntha, he stops in Dwarka, he stops in Ayodhya, many stops along the way. He stops to see Indra, Prahlad, Lord Shiva and Kailash, etc. And each one of them, he glorifies them as having obtained the mercy of the Lord. And each devotee is very humble and said, no, actually I have so many faults. I have not achieved the mercy of the Lord. If you really want to know who has achieved the mercy of the Lord, you go to the next person. You go to Lord Shiva, you go to Indra, like that. According to the specific one, they sent them on to the next devotee. And the next voice said, no, I don't have the mercy of the Lord. Because of this reason or that reason, go to this devotee. When he finally, when he entered Vaikuntha, then the four Kumaras, then when they saw the bewitching smile of Narayan, they became very pleased. But that form of Narayan didn't remind them of Narayan. It reminded them of Gopal. Krishna plays with the calves. Like, all he could remember was Gopal when he saw that beautiful smile. Oh, that smile was just like my Gopal. Because Narayan has 95% of the Lord's quality. So his smile is very pleasing and captivating, as Kapila mentions in 3rd Canto Bhagavatam. How beautiful, how captivating Krishna's smile is. So much so the devotee forgets himself completely by seeing the beautiful smile of Krishna. So in his ecstasy, he lost track where he was, that he was in Vaikuntha, and he said, Gopal, Gopal, it's me. You know, so happy to see you. So Narayan just simply smiled. And the Dwarapalakas thought, who is this guy? So they grabbed him, you know, and Gopal Kumar was shocked that I've been actually arrested by these Yamadutas. Vishnudutas. Why are you making a disturbance here? You know, this is Vaikuntha. Don't make a disturbance. They're ready to arrest him. So Narada Muni understood what was going on, went up to the Dwarapalakas and they said, it's all right, you can release him to us. It's all right. This is a mistake. Here, conversational mistake, I'll rectify it. Yes, it's possible. All right, we're releasing him to you, but don't let him do it again. Narada Muni had to show him, okay, you've got to continue going upward, away from Vaikuntha. You're not in your place. So devotees are not in their places when they go to Vaikuntha. If you see any deity of any demigod or even of the Supreme Lord, one according to Dhruva Maharaj in Srimad Bhagavatam, many other places, you pray for Krishna Bhakti. That's the thing. How that I may not forget Krishna? This is the fruit of worshipping any Daivata or any other avatar of Krishna, to become attached. Even the gopis were joking about, sometimes Lord Krishna was asked, when the gopis asked him, what authority do you have to tax us here on Govardhan Hill? Everything belongs to me. I am Rajendranandan, the son of Raja, so all the lands belong to me, therefore I can tax you. Previously I was so great, I manifest myself as Narasimha, and I broke apart the wasp, Hiranyakasipu. And the gopis were joking and talking, and after they finished their joking, they said, yes, you are like Nrsingadev, he said. He said, just like Lord Nrsingadev is very powerful, so in the same way you accost gopis, you accost them, attack them. And just like he used his nails to break the body of Hiranyakasipu, you should use your nails to break the bodhis covering the breast of the Purva Paksha, the opposite party, Chandravali, etc. You're the Hiranyakasipu that breaks through forcibly through the covering, the bodhis of Chandravali, you know, with your nails, rips apart the Hiranyakasipu, the wasp of the bodhis, the covering that's covering the breast of Chandravali and Padma, the opposite party. So it was a joke. Tungavidya Saki, who was very expert, who's Prabodhananda Saraswati Pad and Gauranga Leela, very expert in the Shastra, very expert in biting arguments. So he mentioned this in Mukta Charita, Raghunath Das's Mukta Charita, to Krishna, as a counter to Krishna's boasting that I'm in my avatar as Nrsinga, I ripped apart Hiranyakasipu. I'm so powerful, therefore I have a right to tax you gopis here. So she countered that by saying, ah, your avatar is Nrsingadev. You ripped apart Hiranyakasipu. In the same way, with your powerful nails, you rip apart the covering of the breast of Chandravali, the opposite party. So it was poking fun of Krishna as his manifestation as Narahari, saying how less important it is compared to your sports in Vrindavan. That's what it means. See, hearing this, even Krishna had to laugh. It was such an expert rebuttal of Krishna's proud, joking words. Tungavidya completely defeated Krishna by that statement in terms of word jugglery, cunning words, use of words. Even Krishna had to laugh at her expertise of speaking. It's another example here that although Nrsingadev is worshipped to protect the devotees, still he's in Vaikuntha. Still he's in Vaikuntha. And they cannot, even the Lord's pastimes of Nrsingadev, which brought great fear to Lakshmi Devi herself. She never saw such a horrible feature. See, even she was afraid of him. Yet the gopis of Braja, who know the history about Nrsingadev well, hearing from their superiors, simple village girls, they're not at all afraid, or not at all bewildered by the Lord's form as Narahari. They're attracted only to Krishna and his pranks and his activities. They cannot be attracted by Vaikuntha. The sweetness of Krishna is too amazing. The sweetness of Krishna's form. So all these arguments are leading our minds to become greatly greedy. The last verse, increase your greed for Vrindavan by following Rupa and Sanatan, and seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's bhava in developing the mood of the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan, and how the spiritual master is serving Lord Gauranga's desires, preaching, propagating Krishna consciousness, deeply relishing it himself. Understand how your spiritual master is doing it. And beware. Disciples need to be warned to beware of deviant, nonsense talk, etc., etc., which rob your jewel. The precious jewel of your love for Krishna, like a prostitute steals the money of a customer, is described. Nonsense talk, hours will be wasted. We mentioned it yesterday. Hours and hours will be shot. And then you're left to lament. What did I learn today? Nothing. Why? Because I spaced out. Why? Because I talk nonsense with so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. Why? Well, because I'm not attached to Krishna Katha enough. Otherwise, I would have done it. So what do you got to show for it? Absolutely nothing. I'm bankrupt. This evening, I'm bankrupt. I didn't learn anything today. Because I allowed my tongue to speak nonsense. I allowed my tongue, my mind to wander off here and there instead of focusing it on Krishna. Therefore, we lost. We were under the lip, the witch of Maya, Nidra Devi. We lost out. So it's important not to become absorbed. Strange philosophies. Talks of nonsense talks, strange philosophies, karmakandic philosophies. Talk of liberation. Because we're suffering in the material world, we want to get out. We should want to get out, but with that way of getting out, which is favorable to Krishna. Not that we make any demand. We have no right to demand. The boys, like the coward boys or the gopis, they can demand. Because they've served Krishna, they're pure, they possess spiritual bodies, they bring Krishna under control, they have a right to demand. But we are conditioned souls, we have no right to demand anything. Prahlad Maharaj says in Bhagavatam that he's not interested in mercantile, worshipping you, Lord, so I get X number of facilities. That's ultimately not the highest platform. Worshipping the Lord only for His satisfaction. Bhagavad Gita mentions that duty which should be done because it ought to be done without any desire or attachment to the fruit is of the mode of goodness. And when it works hard to get something back, that's in the mode of passion. So even Lakshmi Narayan, wonderful as they are, spiritual as they are, powerful as they are, opulently dressed as they are, does not hold a candle compared to the amazing sweetness, madhurya of Vrindavan. It is not to say Lakshmi Narayan or worship of any of the 10 avatars of Krishna is bad. In Vaidhi Bhakti Sadhana, it's all right. And who knows what kind of conditioned souls we attract around the world. Many people may be in that bhava. Some people are destined to be in Vaikuntha. Some, like for example, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita when Murari Gupta was preached to by Gauranga. And all night long he tried to give up thinking of Raghunandan Ramchandra and focus his mind on Krishna, but he could not do so. And he said, I'm just ready to give up my life in distress. You've asked me to give up my life force by giving up Ramchandra. I cannot give him up. I cannot give him up. Please forgive me. And he fell at Mahaprabhu's. I could not sleep all night. I cannot think. Can I give up the lotus feet of Raghunath? Hanuman said, even I know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Still, I don't give up Ramchandra. So if you have, if it's your, it may be some devotee's relationship with the Lord, that they belong in Vaikuntha. They'll take shiksha that corresponds with that. That's the idea. Shiksha that corresponds to the mood. Some people are meant for Vaikuntha. And others, not others. And others are not. Others are not. Others are meant for Goloka. But we have to develop that type of sweetness. Seeing Krishna as the sweetness of everything. Even the ornaments that Krishna wears are beautified by His beautiful features. His body is considered to be the ornament of all ornaments. So, because of all this, the sweetness of Vrindavan, it pales the insignificance, the other sweetness of any other abode, save of Navadvip, Mayapur. So now, and if a devotee is attached to Krishna from the core of his heart, what to speak of bhukti, material enjoyment, or mukti? Now, to our extent, we're making advancement, Prabhupada said, if we minimize the demands of the body without losing our health, and we focus our mind on Krishna, then we can please Krishna. We can start to please Krishna. This is some aspect of preparation. Spontaneous attraction to There's no need to talk about attaining heavenly planets or about becoming Lord of the universe. I don't even want to hear the Vedic hymns that glorify liberation. My mind is enchanted by that brilliant blue flash. Complexion is similar to the color of a tamal sapling, always found in the forest grows in the bank of the Jamuna. The beauty of Krishna far surpasses any beauty of any other so-called murti, any statue that he made, any deity form of the Lord. I hope that's clear. So, the spontaneous attraction to Radha Krishna in that section. This is page 18. The soul of the souls is Radha Krishna. The spirit soul is the eternal servant of the lordships. As such, he's an infinitesimal part and parcel. His divine inclination, natural inclination, is spontaneous attraction. Although this attraction of the spirit soul's intrinsic birthright, to intensify it as the true path of religious perfection, it nevertheless becomes covered over by ignorance and materialistic desires concomitant with its conditioned state. According to the laziness of the worshipper, the deity may be neglected, covered with dust, given in dreams to another devotee. It means the Lord is not happy with where he's being worshipped now. So this statement is interesting. It nevertheless becomes covered over by ignorance and materialistic desires concomitant with the conditioned state. If we have materialistic desires, that's what this section of Manashiksha is about. Controlling the mind to focus properly on Krishna and not become deviated in any way, shape, or form. That's reality. That's the situation. So it's not easy. It's not easy. We have to become focused on Krishna. Whatever way you like, Krishna encourages it. All these different forms of the Lord, the curtain of 16 different forms of the Lord, etc., etc., descriptions of the Lord. It's all meant for attracting devotees, even Vaikuntha. But it's still not as sweet as Vraja. Vraja's pastimes are more human life and are very, very sweet. Very purifying. Otherwise, how would great souls that are already liberated hear and chant Krishna's souls, Krishna's pastimes, if such activities were mundane? Of course not. The activities are not mundane. Therefore, the devotees take pleasure in chanting them. One sadhu that I know, he's for so many years, he's been drinking the nectar of Krishna Katha, chanting Krishna's name, serving the deity, without any desire to go anywhere else or do anything else. Krishna consciousness is so powerful. So we have to try to develop like this. Now, there are different verses quoted in Padyavali, Rupa Goswami's Padyavali, about it's glorifying Krishna's personal beauty here in the last slokas. From Padyavali 35, 36, 38. These qualities of Krishna's beauty may increase the attraction of the devotees to him. This statement in Padyavali, I'll read it in another edition. The Sanskrit is given in another edition of this. These verses are very sweet in Padyavali. I'll find it there. Padyavali 36. Here they are. It actually says it's Padyavali 102. Yeah. Alam ti diva varataya kimiti sarva bhoma sriya Vidurachara Varatani Bhavatu Moksha Lakshmirapi Kalindigiri Nandini Tadini Kunja Punjodare Mano Harati Keva Lama Navatavala Ni Lama Maha. That's the verse. I have no use for talking about attaining the heavenly planets, what to speak of acquiring sovereignty over the entire earth. Even the names Moksha and Lakshmi afford me no pleasure. My mind is captivated by the cluster of bluish brilliance whose color resembles a young tamal tree and it grazes the kunjas on the bank of the Jamuna. Interestingly enough, in another verse of by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where he glorifies Krishna and his friend Sri Dama, he said, Krishna is like a monsoon cloud that is being embraced by a tamal tree. Glorifies Sri Dama also as in the complexion of a tamal tree. Krishna's friend Sri Dama. So evidently their complexion is almost very similar. They look amazing as both of them embrace each other. And the gopis, when they see that, they wonder, who's who? Like that. It's interesting to see how they're... It's interesting. So... this is a very wonderful verse written by devotees in Rupa Goswami. All different authors and people that Rupa Goswami came across, he contributed to Rupa Goswami's Padyavali. Avali is a garland of verses, garlands of poetry. You know? So it's very interesting. And many, many devotees, by the beauty of Krishna playing on the banks of Jamuna, is so much sweeter than talks of liberation by Vaikuntha or anything. This is, and then in Padyavali 36, it says, it seems. Nanyanam hridi bhasatam garivara pratyagra kunjau kasam satyananda rasam vikara vibhava vyavritam antarmana asmakam akila balavi raso rati raso vrindatavi lalaso gopakopi Mahendra Neela Ruchi Ras Chitte Moho Krida Tu. Those fortunate pure souls dwelling in the secluded forests of the Himalayas may have their hearts overflowing with unparalleled joy from and the man, the vice, that person, sadhu at that ashram says, next year when you come up again, stay in my ashram, okay? And I was thinking, well, they think that, you know, that I'm going to make this journey every single year as if it's so nice to be up here in the Himalayas, in the mountains, Gangotri, Yamunotri, Kedarnath, Badrinath. It's interesting for a first time. But I've noticed, although it's beautiful, it's scenic, it's natural. For the heat of the summer or something, it's cool. But it's not as peaceful. It's not that the happiness of Vrindavan does not live there. And the man was saying, come back next year. Stay here. He has no experience of what kind of happiness Vrindavan gives. Vrindavan gives a much greater happiness than the Himalayas can be. So this other sadhu that Rupa Goswami was, whose poetry Rupa Goswami added to his Padyavali, says this. They may have their hearts overflowing with bliss about the super soul. Talks about the super soul. As far as I'm concerned, I only desire to see within my heart the frolics of a coward boy whose complexion is more brilliant than a flash of blue sapphire, who embodies the love of the gopis and who sports in Vrindavan without slightest worry. Krishna is known as Nishchinta. Krishna is known as Nishchinta. He doesn't think about it. Chinta means to think about it, but Krishna is known as Nishchinta. He doesn't have to contemplate anything. Everything is under his control. All energies are under his supervision. He doesn't, and it's all automatically done, swabhavically, by his arrangements. And even in Vrindavan, his Yogamaya is working, Purnamasi, Yogamayi, and her maidservant, Vrindadevi, making all arrangements in the kunjas, flower decorations, all facility, cloth, this, that, for Krishna's pastimes. So Krishna's sporting in Vrindavan without a single care. His energies are cooperating and working wonderfully for to set the stage for his dramatic pastimes. Natabara, as the best of dancing actors, then the stage is set by his wonderful prop men of prop men and prop ladies of Purnamasi and Vrindadevi. So Krishna sports in Vrindavan without the slightest care. How could Vaikuntha attract such a person? How could philosophical talks of different philosophical conceptions attract such a devotee who's attracted by the beauty of Krishna? Once having experienced the beauty of Krishna, so much so that the gopis could ridicule even the Lord's manifestation as Narahari, as being less important. Prabodhananda Saraswati Pad in Chaitanya Chandramata says this also. Of what relevance that the Lord manifests Himself in all these different incarnations as Lord Nisringa, Vaman, held up the earth as Vaman? We don't think these manifestations are significant at all. The real significance is Gauranga has appeared to distribute unparalleled prema, love of Godhead. That's the real significance, Prabodhananda says. It's a really shocking statement. For those devotees who are attached to the Lord's form in His Dasavatar form, forms of ten avatars. Mm. But those persons who are devoted to that form, the Lord is always willing to give Himself. But that's not... For those who love Gauranga, tasting the nectar of Gauranga, such forms do not please them, ultimately speaking. As the Lord's pastimes in Navadvip or Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, they're not attracted. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions this also. In his prayers, he says, Navaikunte Raje, na chavishaye karye mama ratir, na nirvani mokshe, mama matir ihaste kvachidapi, kshanamapi, rajada nara nyad hari vilasitam pavinamapi, katanchida mam rad hana vaya virahitam no sukayati. It's interesting. This is verse number 7 of his 12 vows. So he says, Navaikunte Raje, I'm not interested in the opulence of Vaikuntha. Na chavishaye karye mama ratir, neither do I want to enjoy sense gratification, like on the heavenly planets or within this earthly planets. Na nirvane mokshe, neither do I want to merge into the impersonal nature of the Supreme. Mama matir ihaste kvachidapi, it does not enter into my mind, not even for a moment, the attraction for impersonal liberation. When your body suffers, when a devotee's body suffers like disease, you think, oh, if only I could die, then maybe I would suffer less. Sometimes diseased people think like that. Nowadays, there's a big thing for euthanasia, you know, in Europe or something like mercy killing. Old people, they have some terminal cancer or something, kill them. Allow them to die by lethal injection, put them to sleep, it's mercy for them. Mercy killing. But a devotee does not condemn. Even if a devotee has some terminal disease or like that, they don't condemn. They go on with their bhajan until they give up their body. Hmm? He said, Nachavashayakari, Nirvane Mokshe, Mama Matri Haste, Vichidapi, Kshanamapi, not even for a moment do I consider it. And he says, Vrajada Nad Anyad, Hari Vilisitam Pavinamapi. Pastimes of the Supreme Lord and His other avatars, although they are purifying, Pavinamapi, I'm not attracted to them. Vrajada Nad Anyad. Except for the happiness of the Lord's pastimes in Vrindavan, Hari Vilasitam, the pastimes of Hari, Pavinamapi, even though they're purifying, to hear such accounts in Srimad Bhagavatam and other accounts. Katanchid mam radhan vayavirahitam no sukhayati. Because without discussions about Srimati Radharani, my Radharani, he says, considering himself to be the maidservant of Radharani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, because without talks and discussions about my Radharani, my mistress, Swamini, Radharani, then other talks of the Lord's avatars, pastime performances can give me no happiness in my mind. Pretty discriminatory. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by that statement, shows how discriminatory he really is. It's amazing. So although we may utilize, we may relish, like for example, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, this does not mean that you only read the 10th canto of Bhagavatam and forget all about the 3rd canto where Varaha is a pastimes, and you know, right? And Hiranyaka, the board of Vaman Day's pastimes in 8th canto. Narahari's pastimes in 7th canto. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur said like this, therefore we won't read those things. No. But our happiness is greater in Krishna Katha. Directly, Krishna Vrindavan. Our happiness is greater. But for preaching's sake, we will preach what the rest of the Bhagavatam will say. We learn. Still, there's no sweetness in comparison to the pastimes of the Lord in Vrindavan. There's no sweetness. An example of this was Gopal Bhatta Goswami, right after Nrisimha Chaturdasi, to celebrate Nrisimha Chaturdasi, he was reading the 7th canto of Bhagavatam about Narahari's appearance. And when he heard how Narahari, to please and protect his devotee Prahlad, appeared from the pillar, simply to protect his helpless devotee Prahlad, and to make his vow, his words true, that God is everywhere and situated within the pillar, to prove that his devotee's words was true, Lord Narahari appeared from the pillar. So after he read the story of how Lord appeared from the pillar, then Gopal Bhatta Goswami closed the Bhagavatam and was praying to the Lord, "My dear Lord, if only I could see you in your full form of sweet beauty," he said. "Sweet beauty. I desire to see you in your full form." And then he dozed off. When he woke up the next morning, the Damodar Shila had broken a Sundar, transfigured himself into a beautiful form, beautiful Murti. One part of the Damodar Shila was in the back behind of the Lord. And another part of the Damodar Shila was on just below the shoulder blades of the Lord in the back. And the Lord had beautiful sweetness. His face was beautiful, just like Govinda. His chest was broad and expansive like Gopinath. And his threefold bending posture with his beauty of his legs was just as sweet as the cupid-like legs of Madan Mohan. So all the beauty of all three devas of Vrindavan were manifest wonderfully in Radharaman. How amazing it is that the Lord Gopal Bhatta decided, "Oh Lord, just like you peered from the pillar of Prahlad Maharaj to protect Prahlad Maharaj, I would like to see you in your full form." So the Lord fulfilled that desire most wonderfully. Amazing. And sometimes when he would sit and cry in front of his deity, Radharaman, in ecstasy, sometimes Radharaman would satisfy him and turn into Gauranga, would manifest himself in Gauranga. When he was in separation of Gauranga and crying in front of Radharaman, Radharaman would satisfy Gopal Bhatta's desire by manifesting himself as Gauranga right before his eyes. So in the beginning of our bhakti, we may appreciate how Krishna is controlling everything. Not so much how Krishna is dancing with gopis now in Vaidhi bhakti. So naturally, devotee that is trained up in Vaidhi bhakti will relish the appearance of the Lord's pastimes as all these different avatars. But later on, as his attraction for Braja become more pronounced, then he'll focus. His happiness will be more focused. That's understood. It's an interesting verse from this Svaniyama Dvadasakam, 12 vows of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It sheds some light in spiritual discrimination for devotees. Even though for preaching's sake, you quote everything, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is purported to have mentioned that read Dhruva Charita, the topics of Dhruva Maharaj in the fourth canto, Prahlad Charita, the seventh canto, and Kapila Shiksha in the third canto on devotional service. Read those 100 times, he advised his disciples. Because after 100 times, something will stick in the brain, that's for sure. So it's not that although we're attracted to Radha Krishna or Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan, that we're going to stop reading Bhagavatam. Certain sections of the Bhagavatam are wonderful for preaching, for becoming a devotee. We should learn those 100 times. How amazing. How diligently we should read and know Bhagavatam. But the verses of the 10th canto are what captivated Gauranga's heart. Pratapa Rudra Maharaj quoted them when he served Mahaprabhu dressed incognito. And Mahaprabhu was deeply absorbed in ecstasy. So I hope that's clear. Is there any question on it? In terms of strict adherence to timings, bhoga timings, opulent dress, punctuality, cleanliness, this is how we rank for worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. Because there is a sense of gravity, a sense of strictness. In the beginning of ISKCON, Prabhupada cannot teach the devotees immediately to be formal with Krishna, you know, to be informal with Krishna. It will cause sahajism. In the beginning, one had to promote the seriousness of deity worship, the gravity, that here is Krishna, and he may not be inconvenienced by you. He was praying to the Lord in Kunjabihari when he was being installed in 1976. Now, we've installed Krishna, and we're praying to him to please you give these nice boys and girls intelligence so that you may not be feel inconvenienced. So if devotees are loose from the very beginning, relating to Krishna as just their village boy, a man of Vrindavan, that I don't have to give such, and not the supreme personality of Godhead, then the devotees will become sahajiyan. First, they have to understand how great he is, how his energy is spread everywhere, how everybody is depending upon his causeless mercy. Then after that, when you understand that, then you can start understanding all that same knowledge in relation to Krishna and Vrindavan, where Krishna's sweetness overcomes his form as Krishna externally. Yeah, it is Lakshmi Narayan worship in some sense. Some sense. But here in Vrindavan, they're worshipping quite a little intimately. But still, the six artis have to go on. Dressing, observing festivals that are mentioned in Nectar Devotion. But naturally, according to the heart of the worshipper, the Lord reciprocates. Any deity is like that. The Lord reciprocates according to the love of the worshipper. But if you see him with awe and reverence, then they'll remain for you like Lakshmi Narayan. Or if you see them as stone, then the Lord will never become visible to you. He will always remain like a dumb stone. And if you see it with love, then the Lord will love you back. So it's a question of vision. Vision. Any other question? What we're going to do is tomorrow we're going to take up verse number 5. And verse number 5 is very wonderful because it describes about controlling these, defeating these enemies. Lust, anger, greed, etc. This is another very famous shloka and very practical shloka for this book.